This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for a kid's musical with pillow fights and pranks, maybe an old-time radio stage drama, or an exploration of a uniquely New Orleans music teaching method. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Girl talk, late-night pranks, and pillow fights will close out the summer season of Crescent City Lights Youth Theater as it, in partnership with NordSea, presents the children's musical Sleepover. And joining me now to talk about this slumber party is Crescent City Lights founder Julie Condy and former cast member and now production assistant Andrew Burmaster. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thanks, Diane. We're glad to be here.
Sleepovers are a ritual so many of us remember from childhood. Tell me, Julie, what memories are explored in this children's musical?
I think everyone will remember parties, going to parties, being with their friends, having fun at the sleepover, and then the anxiety of what to wear, who am I going to see at the sleepover? Maybe you're the new kid who's new in the area and is new, and we have a character, Simone, who was new in this show, who doesn't really know anybody and is real anxious about what she's going to find out. And then there's the other characters, your funny kids, your sibling rivalry going on with another sibling in the family. And then there's always the popular girl or the prankster who wants to pull pranks on everybody. It'll bring lots of fun memories for our audience.
Now, Andrew, this is a full circle moment for you. Mm-hmm. Having been a member of the Crescent City Lights Youth Theater and now production assistant for this production, what are the challenges of your new role?
I walked back into that theater and it instantly, you know, brought me back to 2006 and 2007 when I was getting up on that stage when I was one of those kids, and now I'm out in the house watching and I'm really getting an idea of how much work is involved in the other end that I didn't get to see when I was one of the cast members, and I'm getting a newfound appreciation for what Julie does, what our director does.
How did being a member of the theater prepare you for this opportunity?
Well, it definitely gave me theatrical experience that I can now give back to the kids. Julie was my first vocal coach. That's something I definitely did work on. I have plenty of vocal experience now. Thanks to Julie, she got me started on that path.
And what are you doing today? Are you still in school?
Yes, I go to Fordham in New York. I intend to study playwriting. I'm not technically in the theater program yet, but I hope to be.
And what are your future goals?
I'd like to be a film writer or producer. I find it very appealing as a medium, and I've been working on my writing as well. I'd very much like to be a writer.
So what will be your signature on this production, Sleepover?
I'd say it was that vocal coaching for the boys, and they've turned out to be some very good numbers. There's one particular song called Pizza Boys Deliver, and I think it really steals the show.
Well, there are boys. And the boys decide, they find out that there's a sleepover, and they decide they're going to crash it.
Uh-huh.
But they figure out that there's a, you know, they can do this under the guise of being pizza delivery men. And Chuck isn't quite 100% with them. So Chuck is kind of on the outside saying, guys, do y'all think it's really a good idea to crash a girl's sleepover? It's kid hijinks, and it's a lot of fun.
Now, besides a lot of fun, is there a message or a lesson to be learned from Sleepover?
There's lots of lessons. There's the lesson of being friends, who are your friends, being one of a group, and how all the group has to stick together. There's the lesson of sibling rivalry in fun, and that your friends really are there for you. And that's one of the highlights of Crescent City Lights, because we create a group of friends among a disparate cast. And these kids truly become friends. They are friends for the rest of their lives in many cases. So that whole issue of friendship, genuine friendship, which is portrayed in the show, really becomes real life in the Crescent City Lights cast.
Tell me, what is it that makes Crescent City Lights Youth Theater so successful?
I think it's the joie de vivre among all of the students. We work very hard to create a wonderful atmosphere for those kids that they're important. Their artistry is important. They are artists. For the listening public, Andrew's sitting next to me nodding his head.
Definitely. I think one of the most important things we do at this company is we don't trivialize the work the kids do. We let them know we're preparing you to be professionals in this industry.
Now, Julie, this is your 21st year?
21 years. Yes, we're legal.
What keeps you going?
The kids. We have literally hundreds of kids who've come through the program, and many of them are achieving tremendous success. This year, we have our first student who's on Broadway. He's in the hit Aladdin that won a Tony, and he is the understudy for the Tony Award-winning role of the genie.
And he is?
He is Donald Jones. And we are tremendously proud of Donald. And he acknowledges that Crescent City Lights is where he got his start.
I understand that this particular production is an interactive one. Should the audience come in PJs?
We'd love to have the kids in the audience show up in their PJs and be part of the big old slumber party.
Maybe even some of the more adventurous parents.
Yeah. Julie Condy and Andrew Burmaster with Crescent City Lights Youth Theater. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Diane.
Do I invite to my sleepover party? Who do I put under plus? Well, there's Alice.
Sleepover, with music by Philip Friedman and book and lyrics by James Beloff, runs weekends August 15th through 17th and 22nd through 24th at Nord Ty Tracy Theater. First floor, Gallier Hall, 545 St. Charles Avenue, entrance on Lafayette Street. More info online at crescentcitylights.org. Well, old-time radio is back in vogue with writer Ren French's latest offering, Saints and Sisters, Nuns with Guns in Old New Orleans, the radio-style action-adventure comedy presented by Second Star Performance Collective, is set in the Ursuline Convent in 1930s New Orleans. And joining me now to transport you back in time with this live stage performance are actress Cami West and director Harold Gervais. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
You are bringing old-time radio back for a new generation. What made you go back in time before television to this style of entertainment?
Well, there's a saying that radio has the best budgets. You close your eyes, and as long as you're presenting a soundscape, you fill in all the pictures. You can play anything you want because it is the medium of the imagination. It's a way to tell a story in a medium that we don't acknowledge as much as we used to.
And we're a part of the experience because we're seeing behind the scenes how it all unfolds.
That's the beauty of the conceit, I think. Vocally, it's the radio show. If you close your eyes, hopefully you hear the show. You open your eyes and you see a group of actors on stage performing the show. So you're really kind of getting two shows at once, which is the really interesting thing to me as a director. What are they doing silently? How are they interacting with one another? I throw little things out there. It's like, you don't like this person in real life, but not real life, just on stage. And go with that. Or you think that person's really cute. How do you deal with that person while you're playing scenes with that person? So you're getting two stories. And for a director, and I would imagine as an actor, that's the fun part of it for me.
So tell us the story. Saints and Sisters, Nuns with Guns in Old New Orleans?
Yes. The storyline is basically, if you remember the TV show Alias from 10 or 13 years ago with Jennifer Garner, it's Alias set in 1930s New Orleans in the Ursuline Convent, where this secret society of nuns work, they think, to protect the city of New Orleans. It's part of a shared universe that we've kind of established that goes with what we did with the Clifton Monroe Chronicles, which was the earlier series that Ren wrote and I directed the last two episodes of, which was more of a detective series. I always kind of thought a detective series, kind of film noirish, but also kind of slapstick in the romance between the characters. So it's set in the same universe as the Clifton Monroe Chronicles was, but this is more of a action-adventure comedy as opposed to the gumshoe detective, will they, won't they, Sam and Diane thing of Clifton Monroe.
So you said that the nuns are working and they think they're saving the city of New Orleans, but they're not?
They're not. Oh, they are not.
Dun, dun, dun.
It ends up, you find out that they are working for a secret society whose goals are less than nice. We put some hints in there as to what the larger plan is. We don't really come out and say exactly what the larger plan is, because honestly, we don't know exactly what the larger plan is yet. We just know there's a larger plan coming down the road. There is a reference in the play to three puffs of white smoke, which, you know, that signals the election of a new pope. And we make that reference twice, just so you know to pay attention. And that's all I'm going to say on the matter.
Now, Cammie, tell us about your role. How many characters did you play?
We were counting it out before we started this interview. I think I play four different characters. The main character that I play is Jasmine James, and she's sort of a whip-cracking, sassy, curvy, vivacious, but I'd still say she's definitely has a stripe of naivete about her. I mean, she's confident, you know, she's bold, she's brash, but she's a kid, she's young. So she's got that sort of confidence that comes with youth. And that's a lot of fun to play. She's the innuendo queen. Everything she says, she's got these little zippy one-liners, and it's always something that, you know, over-the-top eye roll when she says these things.
You said Jasmine James. Any connection to Jesse James?
Diane!
Maybe.
Perhaps. You'll have to come see to find out.
Do you all have a Foley artist doing sound effects in the production?
We all, as a cast, they kind of do the Foley amongst themselves on stage. You know, part of my conceit for the show is that the radio station it's performed in, which is WAIR, Radio Shows New Orleans, is this kind of grade Z radio station, and they don't have nearly the amount of people they need or the money they need. So it's kind of divvied up amongst the actors to do it. And that becomes part of the farce as well of performing and then, oh, I need to do this as well. And sound effects coming in. Jasmine, Cammie's character, cracks a whip. She's really good with a whip. So a lot of whip cracking.
That's my main sound effect.
And it's a great whip stick. We do gunshots. Those are typically pop balloons. We do water effects, which are water balloons being dropped in a bucket. And then the writer, Ren French, has this really strange imagination, and he literally will drive around the city looking for things, and he'll hit abandoned sites and, like, literally go through refuse. And that's part of the fun of it as an audience, too. You sit down, what is that, and how is that going to be a part of what you're seeing?
Yeah.
For a radio show, I'm making the quotes, radio show, it's a very visual thing.
And how are you connecting with today's young audiences where reality TV reigns king? Mm.
You just have to hope that people want to see a story, you know, that they want to engage their imagination. The show is tight and it moves really quickly and it's funny along the way. It's very anachronistic.
Very, very.
You know, it's set in the 1930s.
Ish.
Ish. you know, we never really tell you a time when the actors are performing it.
Right. It could be post-apocalyptic for all you know.
I've seen the way some of them dress. It could be. But it's, you know, we will make cultural references that people will get. It's very much a cultural melting pot. The conceit is that it's done within the 30s-ish.
Ish.
so, yeah, I mean, that's part of the fun, too. It's like, oh, that's not period at all. Mm-hmm. But it's funny.
What are you hoping audiences will take away from this unique experience?
That they want to see more.
So is there a chance that there'll be a Saints and Sisters, Nuns with Guns Part 2?
Oh, yes. And hopefully on the radio, too. We're looking to record it. So actually on the radio.
On the
real
radio.
The actual real radio.
If you like Alias, if you like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which is my favorite.
It's a lot of Buffy.
A lot of that in there. So there's absolutely something for everyone.
Harold Gervais and Cammie West, thanks.
No, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Second Star Performance Collective presents Saints and Sisters, Nuns with Guns in Old New Orleans, opening tomorrow night at 7:30 in the Kirschman Art Space at NOCA. Performances will run through August 29th. More info at secondstarperformancecollective.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. For 15 years, New Orleans students have learned to play music via the Jazz and Heritage Foundation School. Its weekly Saturday program is set to expand to multiple classes each week in its very own new building. The Heritage Foundation is using a music teaching method from one of New Orleans' most fascinating jazz innovators. Reporter Michael Patrick Welch has more.
This fall, the 24-year-old Don Jameson Heritage School of Music will move into its first permanent home on Rampart Street across from the French Quarter. The building's facade is being sanded and painted for a December opening.
All the classrooms are going to have recording equipment, so we record every class. So we have a state-of-the-art stage where we can do performances at the end of the week.
Derek Doge, the school's coordinator of music education since 2010, is excited about the upgrade to a new building. But he's equally excited to expose more students to a nearly lost New Orleans tradition called the root progression, a teaching method devised and codified by mystic clarinetist Alvin Batiste.
The root progression is basically a practice technique, and it involves the learning of intervals. So you get them in your ear and you get them under your fingers. Section one of the root progression is just half steps. So then what you can do is, if you want to learn, say, an idea in half steps, like say a triad, it would be this.
Doge himself studied root progression under Alvin Batiste, arguably the world's first jazz teacher. New Orleans-born Batiste taught at McDonough 35 before founding Southern University's Jazz Institute in 1969. Batiste later spent 4 years as chair of the jazz department at New Orleans Center for the Creative Arts before passing away in 2007. Over 40 years of teaching, Batiste continually revised and self-published his own spiral-bound textbook titled The Root Progression Method, The Fundamentals of 20th Century African-American Music.
Before you can delve into all this complex territory, you really have to know the basic building blocks. And he was all about breaking music down to the subatomic structure.
That's Cliff Hines, an adventurous local jazz guitarist who studied root progression with Batiste at NOCA. Hines explains the particular power of the method.
Other teachers kind of try to force you into a box. Even if they're not trying to do it, they're inadvertently showing you their style. Alvin was more about giving you the tools to build your own concept.
The way young language learners simply speak Spanish or French without pausing to translate it in their heads. Children who learn with root progression play scales, transpose phrases, and change keys, all without really thinking about it. Heritage School keyboard teacher Michael Pallera also worked with Alvin Batiste at NOCA and was impressed with the way root progression affected the younger students.
He kind of slipped it in on them, you know, because young kids don't play the whole tone scale and the half whole scale. These are kind of modern, 20th century, very advanced concepts.
Almost every modern New Orleans jazz great was raised on root progression. Batiste taught several Marsalis family members, pianist Henry Butler, even bassist and American Idol judge Randy Jackson. And yet when Batiste died, root progression disappeared too. Until in 2010, Scott Aegis, director of programs, marketing, and communications at the Jazz and Heritage Foundation, began considering root progression for the Heritage School.
We contacted Alvin's widow, Miss Edith, and she gave us copies of the book, and we gave it to a couple of musicians and educators who are on our board. Essentially, the answer came back saying, yes, this is something that if we adapt it, we can use as the curriculum of the Heritage School of Music.
Derek Doge and Michael Pallera turned Batiste's self-published textbook into a working curriculum.
Doge aims to combine Batiste's methods with classic New Orleans songs and artists and enough lessons and exercises to fill the school's new schedule.
It's changing because we have just been doing school on Saturdays. Now we're going to be expanding to where we do classes multiple times a week. So that means, you know, we have to beef up the curriculum, add a little bit more.
With the foundation of Alvin Batiste's root progression, students don't just learn the standard New Orleans songs. They get the technical versatility for which the city's greats are known. For WWNO, this is Michael Patrick Welch.
The piece you are listening to is a work by Alvin Batiste called Bumps. This weekend, NOCA and the Louis Satchmo Armstrong Summer Jazz Camp will pay tribute to Alvin Batiste, a former NOCA faculty member and Armstrong Jazz Camp instructor. There will be a concert performance by NEA Jazz Master Branford Marcellus, poetry by Batiste's widow, Edith, and appearances by other special guests. The concert takes place Saturday, August 16th at Loyola University's Roussel Hall, 7 p.m. The event is free and open to the public. More info at armstrongjazzcamp.eventbrite.com. And we have something extra in our Lagniappe Corner. There are several events around town this week celebrating Mardi Gras Indian culture. On Wednesday, August 13th, a release and book signing for Year of the Flag Boy and Gang Flag Yearbook at Community Book Center, 2523 Bayou Road from 5 to 7 p.m. And on Sunday, August 17th, the 16th Annual Mardi Gras Indian Hall of Fame Awards and Memorial Ceremony will take place at the Yashe Cultural Arts Center, 1712 Arepa Castle Haley Boulevard from 2 to 5 p.m. From 2 to 3 p.m., elder Mardi Gras Indians will be there to discuss the tradition throughout the years. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.